This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. The Missouri Tigers are one of the top stories in college basketball. Last year, they did not win a game the entire year in the SEC. This year, they are currently the 5 seed in the SEC, and they have 3 top 5 wins this season. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Tom Hart, who is an alum of Missouri University. He also does play-by-play work for SEC Network. Tom, always happy to have you on the show. I'm a little disappointed that yesterday's game was during the week. If it was a weekend game, I would have been there, but man, Mizzou Arena was rocking yesterday.
Yeah, it was on fire. I need to see his list. I mean, to me, this win means a lot, and it's incredibly valuable for a lot of different reasons. And I could bore you with the double bye in the SEC tournament and moving up a seed line in the NCAA tournament. But it's really, you know, the way I look at it, big picture, continuation of what Dennis Gates has built this season. And I think maybe this is just biased because I was there, but I think the win against Kansas back in December is a notch above, because that was a warning shot. Like, hold on a second. This team can be really good, and this atmosphere can be amazing, which it has been off and on over the last few years. But to me, the Kansas win just kind of set the tone. Like, hold on, this is an experienced, skilled team. It's certainly not last year's team, and they can make a lot of noise. They've never had 2 top 5 home wins in the same season ever before. That really surprised me, especially go back to like late 80s, early 90s, when Oklahoma and Kansas and Missouri, I think that 89-90 season, all rotated through the top, you know, the top ranking in the country. They're all top 5 basically all season. But it's a great benchmark for Dennis Gates and his team.
I don't think Missouri gets enough credit for their home court advantage when things are good. Now, I would say in non-con, it's a little spotty, and if Missouri's not a top team, I would say that it's not really that advantage. But we've seen a couple of years ago, the Michael Porter season, when season tickets were high, excitement was high, it was a clear advantage for them to play in home games. A couple of years ago, when they made the NCAA tournament, it was the same way. Missouri is one of the more fun teams in college basketball, and when that fan base is engaged, they have a true home court advantage that rivals most teams in college basketball.
You're 100% right, and especially within the SEC. My theory, though, is if you look at their recent history since they've been in the SEC, especially with the doldrums they had for a couple of years, I'm not even talking about last year, this league hasn't seen that. Right, they haven't seen it consistently. I had some friends from Alabama who went to the game yesterday, and they were blown away by the atmosphere. Well, they've never seen it like that before. Now, all the old-school Big 12 coaches that I run into, I mean, Frank Martin used to rave about the atmosphere at Mizzou Arena. Other coaches would rave at Rodney Terry at Texas. Man, that place would rock. Or even what the Hearn Center was back in the day when the real old-school coaches used to come in. But the majority of people within the SEC really haven't seen it like this. So I think that's why it's underrated. But once they experience it, they know this is a loud building. And Desiree, who left for Arizona, did an amazing job getting the students motivated to come inside the building 2 years ago. And even with last year's poor season, that continued. And I think she laid the foundation and deserves a lot of credit for that.
Right now, we're talking to Tom Hart. He is a Mizzou alum. He also works with SEC Network. Missouri had a big win yesterday at home against Alabama. Yesterday was the most, I would say, connected that I've seen Missouri play on offense and defense. And it's crazy to say defensively for a team that gave up 90 points, but it was just something that you had to watch the way that they played. I thought they played together on offense and defense. Guys rotated, guys rebound. They played with toughness. That's the thing to me that I think separates this Missouri team than maybe some past Missouri teams is a lot of Mizzou teams, to me, their only way to get stops was to force steals. This team can stop you at the rim. This team can guard you on the perimeter. This team can play defense multiple kind of ways.
It's funny you say that. It's exactly the conversation I had with Dennis Gates back in December, either it was before the Kansas or before the Illinois game. And at the time, I didn't realize how talented Missouri was. I knew what the collection was, and I knew what the history was for each of these guys. But I thought that their best defensive attitude was, hey, we're going to muck this up. We're going to send 12 guys out on the floor. We're going to foul you, and they can't blow the whistle on every foul, and we're going to force you into turnovers and make your pace chaotic. And he kind of looked at me and he said, we can do that at spurts, but I don't think we have to. And that's what we saw last night. Yeah, they turned Alabama over 14 times. Alabama's a team, as everybody knows, that lives by threes and rim twos. I thought the interior defense was really good. Especially at the rim. I mean, Bama's going to get points in the paint, but it's about trying to make them inefficient. And they're the number one tempo team in the country. And Missouri said, yeah, you want to run, you want to get up and down the floor, you want to give Caleb Grill a steal and a windmill dunk? Sure, we'll play that game. And I think to be able to play at the level of Alabama, whether that's home or what they did at Florida on the road, really sends a message to the entire college basketball world that this isn't last year's team. This is a team that can do a lot of damage because they play really well together, and he uses his bench and depth maybe better than any coach in the country.
I would say that part of sports is allowing yourself to dream a little bit. And sometimes, mm-hmm. as a Missouri fan, I think it's easy to get caught up in the negativity and, well, it hasn't worked in the past. And I've been kind of on the brink of doing this, but seeing the way that they started the game yesterday, seeing how they finished it out, this is the first time that I think I've allowed myself to fully jump into the pool. And usually you don't want to say the words Final Four because they've never been there before. But you got to really convince me why Missouri can't make a run. Sure, it is a single elimination basketball tournament. Anything can happen. But this team feels much more complete than teams that they've had, even good teams that they've had of. I don't really know what their overall weakness is. They're not elite at certain things, but this team doesn't really have an obvious weakness to me where you can point and say that's absolutely going to get them eliminated in March.
Did you go so far as to make a hotel reservation in San Antonio yet?
Not yet, but but I will say, Tom, I am excited to see the region that they are in, and there are many teams in college basketball that I feel are better than Missouri. Sure, Auburn's better than Missouri. Like, we can find a couple of teams, but usually how it goes is you kind of have those three or four teams at the top that kind of separate themselves, and then you have that next tier of teams. I think Missouri is in that next tier of teams with a Tennessee, St. John, some of those teams. They've proven that over the last 2-3 months to me.
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, I agree with that observation. I think just starting within the league is a great jumping off point because college basketball has never seen a league this deep and this talented, which is crazy to think, but that's another conversation for another day. That's probably, you know, podcast material as deep as you'd have to go to get into the whys of that. But I think Auburn is head and shoulders above everybody else in college basketball and within the league. They can play poorly and still win, as they did last night. They didn't have a great offensive game. They didn't have a great defensive game against Arkansas, but still held on for a win at home. And they're talented at every position, and they play really well as a team, as you just talked about with Missouri. And I think Florida can be that as well. They just added some depth with Micah Hanlock in a 7-footer starting his season late due to injury. But remember, Missouri went down to Gainesville and absolutely walloped them. I mean, you know, that was a jump start to the season to conference play where Missouri sent a very clear message that we can jump out and score 50 points in the first half against Florida. We can do that against anybody. I think Florida's really talented, and then I think Missouri is right there next in the next tier within the SEC. And offensively, you know, they proved, because Alabama's not a bad defensive team. They didn't look like a good one at times last night. But when you can put those kind of points up against Alabama, especially in the first half, you can score on anybody. And I think it's fun to dream, and I think it's fair to dream, and I think for Missouri fans, it's realistic to start thinking about, hey, is it worth a trip to Nashville? Hey, you know, do we look towards San Antonio? Where, what region are we going to be in? Let me grab my kid. Let me grab my buddies. Let's make a weekend of it and go watch this team in the NCAA tournament. Because in addition to all that talent and all the winning, it's a really fun team. And I think that's captured the national writers' attention. I saw that feedback on X last night. Like, they've noticed that Dennis Gates has a team that's very tight-knit, and they have fun doing what they're doing.
Right now, we're talking to Tom Hart for a couple more minutes. He's a Mizzou alum, and he covers the SEC for SEC Network. I was thinking for a while that Missouri would probably be somewhere in that 5-7 range. After yesterday, I think their ceiling is probably a 3. Like, I would say realistically, the way that they are playing, I think this kind of moves them up the tier where they're probably somewhere between a 3 seed or a 5 seed if they continue to play how they've been playing. I mean, they got chances for other good wins. They got Kentucky coming to Mizzou Arena in a couple of weeks. You could pick up a win or two in the SEC tournament. Like, this team isn't going to have a bad loss, and they just got opportunities to pick up a lot of big-time wins.
Yeah, Lenardi was all over that before the game last night. Of course, everybody at ESPN, like, we get his, he just fills my inbox like spam, man. I get nonstop because everything, it updates in real time, right? Like, every result impacts what he's looking at when it comes to seeding. And he had Missouri, you know, going into the game with the win as a 4 seed. That's really good. Like, that puts you in a really good position. Everybody, if you're a fan of the tournament and you followed it, 5 seeds are not good. Like, you want to avoid that dreaded 5 seed spot. That happens every year. Somebody's gonna get walloped there. And the other thing I'm looking at is what's next for them. Like, how do you improve on where you are? KenPom has Missouri winning out in the regular season. There's 5 games left. The toughest one, as you mentioned, I'll be in Columbia for that Kentucky game to close out the regular season. Kentucky's got a lot to play for. Arkansas has a lot to play for. Like, they're looking for a signature win to make it into the tournament. But then South Carolina, Vandy, and Oklahoma, let's not put the cart before the horse, but very, very winnable games to then position yourself. And then the other thing, I was just talking to a buddy today about, like, some of the teams in the bottom of the SEC and where they fit into the tournament. And even though there have been struggles with teams like Georgia and Oklahoma recently, you got to remember, like, it's not in a vacuum. You have to judge them against other bubble teams in the rest of college basketball. And the SEC is so far ahead. I keep looking at the ACC specifically, but so far ahead of the rest of college basketball that the wins that Missouri already has within this league and the wins they still have to come within this conference are going to be weighted very favorably given the overall strength of the league, top to bottom.
That is Tom Hart joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for SEC Network. He is a Mizzou alum as the Missouri Tigers. They go from last season being one of the worst Power 5 teams to now they're one of the best stories in the sport as we are speeding closer to March. Tom, great stuff, man. I look forward to talking to you down the road and continuing to track this team's journey and seeing where they end up in March in the NCAA tournament. Thanks for popping on today.
All right, you didn't tackle I-70 last night, but you have a chance to do that Saturday for the Kentucky game. Maybe I'll see you down there.
Absolutely, Tom. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks, brother.
That is Tom Hart joining us on the show today. I just thought this as I was playing the Tom Hart interview for you guys. And maybe I'm wrong. Text line 913-586-7965. You guys know I love a good hypothetical button. And Rob, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it's The Drive. We talk about these things. If there were two buttons in front of me, I guess maybe one button, and the button says that Missouri will make the Final Four this season, but the cost of Missouri making the Final Four is that the Chiefs move to Kansas, I'd press the button. I'd press the button. I wonder how many Missouri fans in my position would also press the button. I'm a Missourian through and through. I've never lived anywhere else other than in the state of Missouri. If you telling me right now that you put a button in front of me, Rob, and I can press the button and I get to see Missouri make the Final Four, and the cost of that is that the Chiefs have to move across the street, so be it, man. I'll drive over there. It's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. I don't care. Take it. You can have the Royals too if you need to. Actually, you know what? Let's keep one of them. If you want the Chiefs over there, that's fine. You can have them. I've been over there. It's not that bad over there. It's great. You can stop at the Nike outlet over there. They got the little Polo out, the LO outlet over there. Go get you a TV in Nebraska Furniture Mart. Go see the game. Come home. It's not that bad over there. I don't mind it. I'd press the button. Are you surprised I'd press the button, Rob? You shocked?
I actually am very shocked by that, because I would. Now, I don't speak for people who cheer for Missouri, and I don't speak for people who live in Missouri.
We definitely don't want you speaking for either one of us. You've never cheered for Missouri. You've never lived in Missouri. We don't want your opinion.
That's true. My thoughts here are not, you know, one of expertise. But I'll tell you this. That is surprising, because I think if I polled 100 Tiger fans in Kansas City, hey, you get a Final Four, but that means you leave. Let's just say the Chiefs. We're not going to say a team. You lose the Chiefs to Kansas. But it's legends. It's like right there, just a jaunt down I-70. I think 80% of fans would say, no. I can't lose the Chiefs. No. I think it's overwhelming, the Chiefs staying in Missouri,
people. I'm pressing the button. I'm going to ask Gabe to put this on his website. I'm going to text Gabe and ask him. This is the thing. You press the button.
Do you want hate mail from your own fan base?
I just want to see what people would say. They don't like me on there anyway. No college fan base likes me. I think I might actually be most popular with K-State fans, and I know they don't like me. Yeah, so what does it matter at this point? Let's just have fun. Let's just have vibes. Let's just have fun. It's great. It's fun. It's phenomenal. Have I asked you this question on the air? I can't remember. If I asked you this question, that's fine. KU makes it to the Elite Eight, but they lose and they don't make the Final Four. Or you can press the button right now and roll the dice with whatever KU does, but Missouri loses in the first round in a heartbreaking fashion. Which one are you taking?
So I get an Elite Eight, no matter what, locked in.
But
Missouri is also roll the dice.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I get roll the dice
with
and
KU,
Missouri's out.
And you can,
and it's this KU team based on their seeding.
Yes. So I'm saying is right now you have two options. You can take KU goes, you 100% can lock in KU goes to the Elite Eight, and then you'll see what happens. Maybe Missouri makes the Final Four. Maybe they don't make the Final Four.
But it's guaranteed they lose the Elite Eight. So like it's
your team will not.
Ceiling.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the ceiling. It's the best you can do. Or you can lock in.
I'm taking the Elite Eight.
Okay.
There's a magic to March. Even if I know, hey, eventually Auburn's going to get them. There's something about a run in the NCAA tournament that's just fun, that's just enjoyable. Making that third week, I would be way happier if Kansas made the Elite Eight, but I think a lot of fans would take the Missouri thing, but I'd take the Elite Eight.
I just wanted to know. I just wanted your opinion. A lot of people, a lot of Missouri fans are saying that they pressed the button for the Final Four. There's nothing in sports I want more than Missouri winning the Final Four. If you had told me the Chiefs would get blown out the way that they did, I would have broken the button how hard I would have hit
and
the button.
It's just Final Four and roll the dice, right?
Yeah. I would have broken the button how hard I would have hit it. It wasn't that bad sitting through it in hindsight if you had told me that's the reward on the other end. And watching them get smoked in the Super Bowl was not fun at all. It was miserable, actually. It was miserable to watch them get smoked. I would have smashed the button how hard I would have pressed it.
I think you're a man on an island with that take.
Okay, I can only speak for myself. That's all I can do. I can only speak for myself of how I feel.
I think if you asked that same question with Mizzou fans when the Chiefs had Alex Smith, I think it'd be a lot closer. But now Patrick Mahomes, fans do not, Missourians do not want to lose the Chiefs to Kansas.
Okay.
Even though it'd be the exact same, driving down I-70 for a game,
how many Missouri
changes.
Fans that are also Chiefs fans do you think would rather have the Final Four than the three-peat?
I think the three-peat would be an overwhelming favorite.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think you could argue a lot of Chiefs fans would then say, we've already seen our team win the Super Bowl a couple of times. Them not winning the three-peat, no big deal. I've never seen Missouri do this thing before, and that's why I would press it.
No one's ever seen a three-peat, though, before.
No, that's fair. That's why I think it's a good question. Yeah.
If you were to say, if this question was flashback 12 months ago, and you asked the same question about a repeat versus Final Four, I think it's overwhelmingly Final Four. I think the history changes things.
You get to be with Anna Kendrick for a weekend, but the Royals move to San Antonio. You pressing the button? You
gonna I'm happily married. Don't do that. My wife listens to the show.
I was just asking.
No, I'm happily married.
See, I threw that one in there quick, too. I tried to get you to answer real quick. I saw the look on your face. I saw the look. You thought about it for a split second, and then you saw her arguing at you when you walked through the door. That's what happened.
I'm already going to have an argument when I get home. Hey, honey, let's watch some hockey.
What? Her phone was blowing up if you had answered that question, honestly. What? First, you won't let me go to the paint and sip. Now you're... Okay, you know what? That was good. You were quick on your feet. I like that you were quick on your feet. Let me play this audio. Let's get back control of the show. Gabe DeArmond. Let's just keep the Mizzou theme going. This is what Gabe DeArmond said about who could win the national championship.
Pretty easy argument to make that a 6 seed is actually better than a 4 or a 5. Because then, you know, game two, you're getting that 3 seed, and hey, you got to beat a good team no matter what. But then if you do get through to the Sweet 16, then it's a 2 seed rather than a 1. And I do think there's a pretty big difference. Like, if you gave me Auburn and Duke and I gave you the field, I'd feel pretty good about my chances to have the national champ.
All right, you know what? You can actually now place this bet. This is a real bet that you can place. It's a real bet that you can place. So I did the percentages for those of you that don't gamble. They are giving you odds of 58% the field, 42% for Duke and Auburn. Now, I think that those are, I don't know if Duke's the second best team in college basketball, but they're certainly one of the top five. They have the second best player, however you want to put it. Cooper Flagg's a dog. He's going to be the number one overall pick. Auburn is the best team. You can maybe argue Alabama, Duke. You guys get the point. I would take the field. And I think Auburn's clearly the best team in the country and will be. I don't care what happens the rest of the regular season. Auburn is the favorite to win the national championship. I don't think the talent is that big of a gap for me on Auburn or Duke that I would take those two teams over the field. Sure, they are the favorites to win it, but I think you run into it, especially now if you took this bet without seeing the bracket. I mean, Auburn and Duke could meet each other in the Final Four, so you would then be cutting your chances in half. Well, you only one of them, even as I like both of them play, and then you're for sure to win your bet. So you're rolling the dice on that. I understand the point that Gabe was making, but I think you still have to take the field. If you're giving me the field and all the other possible options, so you're giving me Florida, you're giving me Houston, you're giving me whatever other team, you're giving me all of those teams and I'll give you Duke and Auburn, I'd feel pretty confident with the field.
I think I'd take Duke-Auburn. And a lot of that's based on Auburn. Auburn is saying they're really good is an insult to really good teams. The obvious best league this year is the SEC in basketball. The SEC is kind of a basketball conference now. Their football just down, but their basketball, great. Auburn is running through that conference. I mean, we're crediting Mizzou for beating Bama last night. It's a great win by Mizzou. Last weekend in Tuscaloosa, Auburn took care of Alabama, no problem. They've gone on the road and taken care of business in multiple hostile environments. Auburn is a class above everyone else. And I get what you're saying about, well, Duke and Auburn could match up in the Final Four. I think Duke and Auburn are destined to be on opposite sides of the bracket. I don't know it's as extreme as I believe it was 2021 when it was, hey, Gonzaga and Baylor. It's a crash course. Let's just fast forward to that. I don't know it's as obvious this year as that year, but it feels a lot like that. It feels like it would be a massive shock if we don't get Auburn and Duke in the Final Four. Now, maybe they're playing each other and it's a bad bet, but I think we know two of the four Final Four teams right now.
Yeah, do you think that Auburn, I guess, is better than UConn last year? Because
yes.
UConn was one of those teams that it was like, hey, the rest of y'all playing for second place. Like, mm-hmm. This team is just clearly better than everybody else. I think Auburn is very good. I don't know if I get the feeling that they are just head and shoulders by far and away. Once you see your bracket, it doesn't matter who else they put in there. You are automatically penciling Auburn. I don't feel that way about them, but it obviously sounds like you do.
I feel like Auburn is, what's Seth Davis to say, Sharpie? I feel like they're Sharpie to the Final Four. I know Cooper Flagg's the best pro in college basketball. The best college basketball player is on Auburn.
Yeah,
much like last year, how the best college basketball player was on UConn. Bruce Pearl's a great coach who has been to a Final Four before. They have a depth of talent, and what they are doing to a great conference night in, night out has me thinking that team is UConn feeling to me.
Bruce Pearl calls the AD at Kansas and says, I want to be the head coach, but you got to fire Bill Self. What do you say?
I don't think there's any world in which KU is firing Bill Self.
I just
Self.
Want to know what you would do.
I don't think you fire Bill Self. I think if Bill Self rides off from the sunset, Bruce Pearl gets a call.
Okay.
Hey, we can have those barbecues now, and you're not going to get in trouble from the NCAA.
We agree that this season, Kansas would be better if Bruce Pearl was their head coach.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious if you agree.
Yeah, I think if Bruce Pearl was the coach of Kansas, Kansas would be better right now.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you had let Bruce Pearl get the transfer portal last year and bring in the talent, they'd be better off this year than they are right now. I just curious what you would think. If Bruce Pearl's like, hey, I want to come coach, what would you tell Bill to do? I'd have Bill be an assistant. He'd be working in the athletic department making phone calls for donations if Bruce Pearl wanted to come.
You would run Greg Gurley out so fast for Bill Self.
No, I ain't doing that for Greg. Greg, that was Rob. I didn't say nothing about you, Greg. You know you're my man. I didn't say nothing. You and Haney are good. Everybody else, possibly. But you two, you're good money. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
There's a lot of stories that I've been able to tell you guys on this show. It's actually one of my favorite things to do to, you know, let you guys know what's going on in my personal life. You know, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's funny, whatever it may be. I've done this job for a long time. A lot of you have been listening for a long time, and I want to tell you that I appreciate you. I don't think that I've ever been able to come on here and tell you that my plan tonight when I go home is to watch hockey. I don't know if I've ever been able to say that, honestly. Now, I don't say this because I know what's going on in the hockey. In fact, it is quite the opposite. I don't know at all what's going on in the hockey. I don't know who's playing in the hockey game. I don't know. I have genuinely no clue who is on the United States team. Rob told me, and I was looking at him like he was speaking another language. I was like, who are these people? I don't know who any of these people are. I only know a handful of things about tonight's hockey game. I'm not joking. This is not a bit. I only know a handful of things about the game. This is what I know. I know that they played on Saturday. The United States played Canada in a hockey game. I know that. And I know that while the national anthem was going, the Canadian people booed the national anthem, the American national anthem. And the American folks, they didn't like this that much, so they started a fight. And it wasn't just one fight, it was multiple fights. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I have no clue what I'm getting myself into. The only thing I know in hockey is icing. That's where, like, you can't pass it past, like, double lines. And I know a very, very rough outline of what icing is. This is not me to tell you that hockey is bad. I don't really know much about it. I grew up in Kansas City. I've never been to an NHL game before. Never had a favorite team, never had a favorite player, just never really been part of my life. But if you tell me that there is a possibility of fisticuffs, I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm not a big UFC guy. You guys know that. Not a big UFC guy. But the times I do watch it, it usually has been, oh, this guy really doesn't like this other guy. Oh, well, I'll give it a chance. You're telling me they got beef. You're telling me that he's got a kid with her and they got, you know what? You don't got to explain any more to me. I'm happy to watch it. That's all I know about this game. And that's all I really need to know is they booed our national anthem. The players weren't very happy about it. And now I'm going to be watching the national anthem just because I want to see what's going to happen when they play that O Canada. You know they're playing the O Canada. And if Boston is the sports city that I know it is, you have to boo the national anthem, right? This is like an eye for an eye kind of thing, right? A tooth for a tooth. They booed your national anthem. You now have to boo their national anthem. I was looking at the prices for this thing. Rob, the average price to get in for this thing, it's $1,100. If you want to sit lower level, it's $2,000. This is for an exhibition. Now, it's an important exhibition, but it's still an exhibition. For $2,000, yes, I'm booing. I might boo a national anthem for a country that's not even playing in this thing. I might just start walking through the concourse playing different countries' national anthems and booing them. I'm getting my money's worth. Are they fighting tonight? Because that's why I'm tuned in. I'm tuned in for the fisticuffs. I placed a very small wager on the United States. I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know if they're the favorite. I don't know any of it. I just put a bet on them because that's, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do. Now, I know more players on the Canadian team than I know on the American team. Sidney Crosby, he's playing in this thing. Was it kids? Connor McDavid? He's playing? I've heard of him before. He's got to be pretty good, right? He's playing in this game. He has to be pretty good.
I mean, most players playing this game are pretty good.
I'm just asking. You got to be pretty good. I mean, I don't know how good you could be. I can't name anybody on the American team. Can't name any of them. Who's somebody on the American team I would know? They got Patrick Kane on the team.
Do you know Jack Eichel?
No.
Then I think we're out of...
You could have made up a name right there. Who is that?
Is that name Speck told me earlier today?
I've never heard of him before.
I believe you know what? For as often as you go to Vegas, you probably bumped into him.
No, I've never heard of this guy before.
By the way, to answer your question, I do not think they fight tonight. I think there are no fights.
What?
If you want my gut...
Canada's weak, then. You're telling me you're going to sit there...
I'm just telling you what's happening.
You're telling me that the Americans are going to boo your national anthem. You saw what happened on the other side, and now you're not going to fist the cuffs?
I think they're going to try to come out there and win on the scoreboard. I think that's what's coming. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Canadians are more upset about the booing than I think. I think they're going to come out there and they're going to try to... they're going to use... they might celebrate after longer than you anticipate, but I don't think we see a fight tonight.
Okay, well...
I don't think you see people drop gloves between Canada and USA.
That's what I'm tuning in for. I'm going to at least give the first period a chance.
If they don't fight, you're going to... like, let's say
I don't know. Let's see how the game's going. I don't know.
Let's say it's 1-1. Good, fun, fast-paced, back-and-forth hockey.
How long is hockey? Is it long?
It's like 2 hours and a 2.5 hours of watch time.
Is it longer or shorter than soccer?
Longer. It's more comparative watch time-wise to a college basketball game.
Yeah. The text line's trying to explain why they booed. I mean, I watched the news, too. I don't really care as much about the why. They did it. They did it. And the Americans decided that it's time to fight. That's what happened. That's all I care about. I know why the Canadian people were like, eh, I'm not really trying to hear this song right now. The American people said, you're going to listen. You're going to listen or I'm going to knock your teeth out. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Hey, I kind of want to see. Someone on the text line says, you don't have to boo. You can be the bigger person and remain silent, but I don't expect our fans to be the bigger person. My brother, they put this in Boston. You might get the bigger person in Kansas City. You might get the bigger person if this game was in Miami. You ain't getting the bigger person in Boston. They booing that song tonight. The moment they start saying, oh, Canada, boo, they might start throwing things on the ice later today when that song plays. They're definitely getting a USA chant going while that's going on. You know what? If you're Canada, you can't have somebody go out there singing. You just got to play. You got to play the Kidz Bop version of the national anthem. You got to just play a tape. You can't have somebody go out there and you're about to run the risk that they could get booed.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. You can't have, who's the guy that did the AFC title game in Kansas City? The
Marine, yeah, or the serviceman.
Yeah, he does a very good job. I apologize for getting his name. If he went out there and did Oh Canada first and got booed, that's no. You can't have that.
Hold on. Somebody on the text line just said it's three periods, 20 minutes each, and then they have a 17-minute intermission between each period. What are they doing during the intermission?
They clean the ice.
It's dirty?
The Zamboni. That's what the Zamboni does.
What are they?
It's got, like, grooves from people's skates.
They got to take two breaks to do this?
Yeah. But there's not a lot of TV timeouts. There's, like, two. There's, like, a TV timeout or two. No. Every period.
I've seen the Zamboni. I didn't know they had to do it. They got to do it two separate times.
They need fresh ice.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't know anything about hockey.
This isn't going to Legends Field during Christmas time for that pop-up and you just watch. No, they're Zambonying a lot for these guys.
I haven't been around ice skating in a very long time. Everything I know about hockey came from Blades of Steel on the NES. I don't know anything else about hockey. I haven't played a hockey video game since Blades of Steel. I don't know anything about it. Text line, you guys know the game I'm talking about back on the NES. Blades of Steel was a great game. It was a phenomenal game. Doesn't get nearly enough credit. Speaking of underrated, I have more hockey thoughts. I never thought I had so many hockey thoughts. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I have a quick hockey thought and then I have a Royals thought. Let's just do it that way. My hockey thought isn't even related to today's game. It's just a general thought. I don't think we give Disney nearly enough credit for the run that they went on with sports movies. Miracle is an amazing movie. Amazing. Disney had a run there for about 4 or 5 years. They were pumping out sports movies. They're pretty good. Glory Road is a good movie. Miracle is a really good movie. You guys know I love the movie Invincible. Remember the Titans. Disney, when they decide to do a sports movie, they usually don't miss, man. Miracle is good. I love that movie. Whenever they got smoked by Sweden or one of those countries, I don't know who it is, but they're getting smoked. And then after the game, the coach makes them do suicides. And he's like, who do you play for? He's like, Peter O'Callaghan, Boston College. Again, and he's making them key. And I'm like, how long are they going to do this? And then they eventually say, USA gets me fired. I'm like, yeah, let's go beat the Russians. Miracle's great. Kurt Russell, he was born to play that role of Herb Brooks in Miracle. I might not even watch the game tonight. I might just watch Miracle, and I'll just catch the highlights on TikTok later. We got to start giving Miracle its credit of being a top-tier, elite sports movie that it is. It's not on the Rocky tier because not many movies are. But, man, that second tier of sports movies, it's as good as any sports movie that you're thinking about. Any Given Sunday, Remember the Titans, Miracle. It's one of those kind of movies. Phenomenal film. Two thumbs up, A+, 10 out of 10, would recommend. I highly encourage you to check it out. This is my Royals question that I have, Rob, and then we'll get to Travis Kelce at the top of the hour. So the Royals released their kind of television plan for the year. So there are three ways that you can watch the team. If you have cable or satellite, so basically how it was last year, Spectrum, Xfinity, DirecTV, Fubo, UVerse. If you have that and you already have cable, you don't got to worry about it. Whatever channel you were watching the Royals last year, you can do it right then and there. It's great. They have a streaming option now, the FanDuel Sports app, FanDuel Sports Network. You can get it on Apple TV, Android TV, Fire Stick, Apple, Roku, Xbox. You can stream it right then and there. Pay every month. It's like a normal service. Same way you pay for Netflix. Same way you pay for HBO Max. You can pay for this. You get all your Royals games. Great. They're going to show 10 games on regular TV. It's regular TV. Channel 10. Channel 5. It's going to be great. And they're also doing a deal. If you are a season ticket holder, they're going to give you 2 months for free. Now, The Royals are trying. This is not ideal, but there's only two more years left in this CBA. So in 2 years, we could be back in this same place. And the Royals television and all these other teams in baseball, their situation is fixed. Are people mad, Rob, at the price that they now have to pay for it? Are people mad that it's now for some people? Like, if you're me, I don't have cable. I don't plan on going back to cable at this point. So I am going to sign up for the FanDuel Sports app. I think the Royals are going to be good this year. I don't mind spending the $19 a month. It evens out to you end up paying what, like 75 cents a game, 80 cents a game every month? It's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, I'm not thrilled about it. Is it price? Is it the fact that they are now making us pay for something that used to be free? Like, what do you think is people's biggest holdup? Because you and I both know. In 2 months, whenever we transition and we are talking about the Royals, the argument is going to be, I can't watch the Royals. Well, yes, you can. If you have internet access and a smart TV, you can watch the Royals. It's on all of it. Apple TV, Fire Stick, everybody has one of those versions, or you have cable. Everybody listening has one of those versions. So, yeah, you can watch them. It's just not free anymore. They're now making you pay. They put it behind a paywall. What's people's biggest holdup is now that it costs, because $20 a month to watch, basically paying 80 cents a baseball game is not that ridiculous of a number they're asking you to pay.
I think people's main frustration, which I think is silly, by the way, is that they are angry at the change in sports landscape. And locally, the first team of the big two, no offense, Sporting Kansas City, to join the revolution or be part of the revolution with putting more games behind streaming is the Royals. I think fans are mad about the future and they don't like the future, which is not the Royals' fault. It's not baseball's fault. It's no one's fault. You don't have to like the way the future looks, but the future in sports is streaming. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. Netflix is trying to buy some of the Sunday games. So it wouldn't be CBS and Fox. It'd be CBS and Netflix or Fox and Netflix. The NFL is already in bed with Netflix. It wouldn't shock me if that becomes a bigger deal. Prime is going to become a bigger deal. They had a playoff game this year. Sports on streaming services that are costly to watch are the absolute future, and it stinks. And I think locally, the Royals are part of that first wave. And as always, the first wave is the wave we hate. That's what I think fans are mad about.
Yeah, I mean, this part to me, I think is a fair, this is a fair criticism. This is kind of annoying to me that I have to pay for another subscription service to only watch one team. This is where I think the NFL, and I think it's unfair to the other leagues that we understand the uniqueness of the NFL, and now we are mad that the basketball and football doesn't have the exact same television deal. Well, football doesn't take up nearly the inventory that baseball does. If you're Channel 5, you can't give baseball the same access to your airwaves the way that you give football. So I'm not here defending the baseball model. I'm with you that it's messed up. Someone is saying people are mad that they have to pay for the local team. How do you watch Kansas then? Kansas is local, right? It's right down the street. Kansas doesn't come on regular CBS every single night, right? They aren't preempting the Masked Singer for you to watch. How do you watch Kansas? How do you watch K-State?
Last night, Missouri was on a cable channel.
You have to have SEC Network.
You have to have a premium cable subscription to watch the local team.
So I hear what you're saying is the only local team that you get the opportunity to watch for free is the Chiefs. Every other one we are talking about, you have to pay. It's behind a paywall. If you want to follow Missouri season, yeah, they'll play on CBS in the tournament. They might not even be on CBS. They might be on True TV or whatever other networks. I don't know all the networks they got. TBS, how do you watch all of these other things? Again, I'm on your side. I don't like the fact that they make us pay for all of these other things too, but I would say, if anything, I think people were mad about access. It's not about access anymore. You're not mad at how much it costs. And I get that part. Hey, this thing costs more than I want to pay for. But that's also life, right? That's life. We all would eat at Eddie V's every day, but it's a price attached to it. So you know what? I drive past Eddie V's and I go to Chipotle. It's the price I'm willing to pay to eat. Right? We all are in that situation. Well, I mean, I want something to drink, but I'm not paying for that. Hey, just give me the Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's fine. I'll take Old English, some Milwaukee's Best, if you got it. That's commerce. I'm not on the royal side here. I don't want you guys to hear this that I'm on the streaming side. I hate that this is the case, but them charging you 75 cent a baseball game to watch on television, I mean, that ain't the worst thing in the world. It could definitely be worse right there on your smart TV, and it can come and go as you want. If you want to wait until the second half of the season to see if they're good, then sign up for the second half of the season. If you want to buy lock in for the first month of the season and see if they're good or not, yay, pay the $20. I mean, $20, I mean, that's two times you go to get coffee. That's you and your that's you and your girl a lunch. It's $20. Give them the 20. I mean, it's clearly a premium product. You don't get to watch Game of Thrones for free. You don't get to watch most of the television shows you watch. You pay to watch Squid Game. What makes the Royals? Now, I understand the access you get more. I get all that, but I hate to sound like I'm pushing for the streamers, but I mean, $20 a month, if you really, really like your baseball team, if you tell me, hey, they got a Mizzou network, that's the only way I can watch, I'm paying the $20. I don't know what to tell you. I don't got no other choice. You think they're beating Alabama and I'm not going to be watching it? Here, take my 75 cents for this game. I can't wait to give it to you. Keep it right here. It's the drive.